time. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time. It's time. Well, we're speaking in the third week of the series we started a couple of weeks ago on It's Time. We looked at the last remaining giant. Remember that message? We talked about the King Og. The Word of God said the King Og, and the only thing that really talked about him, it says that he was the last remaining giant that the Israelites had to face. And it gave the mentions of his big old bed. Remember that? We're like, why in the world would the Bible talk about King Og's bed? And we had a bed here on the platform. And I preached, and I believe that many times, right before we get to the promise that God has for our life, that if we're not comfortable, we'll step into the bed of complacency. And we'll say, I've done enough, I've prayed enough, I've given enough, I've served enough, I've grown enough. And God has got something so much greater for us in store if we'll just not settle and be complacent. Last week we talked about it's all about the field and how the treasure is found in the field. That we, as immature people, will be treasure hunters. That it's very good that we are born with this unique gifting as human beings. We like hunting treasure, don't we? We like the shows of the storage wars and the treasure hunters because there's something about finding that treasure in an old storage unit somewhere that really intrigues us, and we're really geared that way. Yep, you know what I'm talking about. You're really geared that way. We want to win that treasure. We want to find that treasure. And so, you know, but if we're not careful, that flows into our life as Christians, and we seek after the treasure, and we forget the field. And Jesus said the kingdom of God is like the field. It's like the field. And so we realize that the kingdom of God is all about the field. That when we buy the whole field, that we sell out to the whole field, that it's there we'll find the treasure that God has for us. It's there as we serve the field, as we take care of the field that God's placed us in, that's there that we will find the field that God has for our life. And there we'll find the treasures, the hidden treasures that God's wanting to bring out in our life. Well, today as we close, I simply want to speak to you in a few minutes about the thought, now is the time. Now is the time. Let's say it together. Now is the time. There you go. Let's read Genesis chapter 18. Let's pick it up in verse 13 and we'll go through 15. Now this is what's happening here. Let me tell you what's happening here. The Lord has come to Abraham and Sarah and said, hey, you're going to have a child. You're going to have a son. His name is Isaac. And by this time, these people are old, okay? They're older than dirt, okay? And there was no infomercial to help them out, if you want to get my riff here, okay? And the Lord said to Abraham, let's just go right in. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I'm old? See, God had come to Abraham, so I'm going to give you a son. He had a promise for him. He said, I'm going to give you a son. You're going to be the father of many nations. He had given us a big promise. And when Sarah finds out, this is her response. She laughs. And she says, shall I surely bear a child since I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life. And Sarah shall have a son. Look what it says. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And that's what the Lord said to her. No, but you did laugh, Sarah. You laughed. You see, Sarah laughed when God began to tell her that, you know what? I've got a great plan for you. You're going to be the father of many nations. Out of your seed is going to come the Christ child. Out of your seed, I'm going to redeem mankind. And as God was telling them the promise of what he wanted to do in their life, Sarah laughed. She couldn't believe it. Because Sarah said this. She said, I'm not the one. Sarah said, this is not the place. And this is surely not the right time. I'm old. You picked the wrong person. You picked the wrong person to carry out the destiny that you have for the world. If Abraham is called the father of faith, we can say this, that Sarah is called the mother of doubt. Isn't that so true? Abraham's called the father of faith, and Sarah is called the mother of doubt because she laughed at God. And you can't really blame her. I mean, come on, really. If you're really looking at it through fleshly eyes, it looked impossible. But the great thing is this, that God has not called you and I to look through flesh glasses. That he's called you and I to look through glasses of faith. And we can see that God can do great things in our life. We can see that God has a great destiny waiting for our life. If only we'll believe what God is speaking to us, if only we will embrace the vision that God's wanting to give to us, God will do great things even when it seems like God's hand has passed you by. God, are you sure you want to use me? Do you know what I've done? Yeah, you and everybody else in this room, okay? God's going to use somebody, and somebody's got to step up and say, I'm the one. It was Abraham who was a man of faith. Moses at the burning bush, when God approached Moses about leading his people to the promised land, out of slavery, Moses said, God, I'm not the one. I stutter. I have speech problems. I was already fleeing for my life. I'm running from Pharaoh, and you're asking me to go back to Pharaoh and free the people of God. Moses said, I'm not the one. It was Gideon, when God went to Gideon and said, I'm ready for you to fight for Israel, to bring your nation out of bondage. Gideon was hiding in the cave and said, God, you got the wrong guy. God, I'm not the one. He said, who am I? This is not the right place. This is certainly not the right time. Let me say this to us, Destiny Church, that there's something in our spirit that must shift. There's something in the spirit in our church, in our lives personally, that must shift to say this at Destiny, that I am the one. If this is the place, and now is the time. There's my whole sermon right there. Let's say it again. You want all 3 points? You can get them all one time right here. I don't have 50 slides today. I just got a few. And you're getting all 3 points right here. I am the one. Let's say it together. I am the one. This is the place. And now is the time. You see, God's looking for people who will say this very thing to the Lord. Because the Word of God says that His eyes are searching far and near, looking for people who will step up and say, God, here am I. Not with pride in their life, not to say, God, I got all these things to give you, but no, it's God, whatever I have, you can use it. God, whatever you want to do in my life, I say yes to. It's a humble spirit that's not selfish at all, that has no pride. It says, God, I believe that you want to do something great in my life, and I want to yield to that greatness, whatever you want to do, that you want to use me to reach my field, that you want to use me, that I am the one. Someone's got to be the one. Why not you? Oh, come on, that's good. Someone's got to be the one. Why not you? TJ could have passed Destiny at a school, said she's an atheist, that old heathen. She'll never accept God. But why not witness to her? Why not give up on her? Why not tell her that Jesus loves her? Someone's got to be the one. Come on, you know what I'm saying? Someone's got to say, God, I am the one. This is the place. Now is the time. In 1779, we see Captain John Paul Jones. He was sailing with the early American colonies on the North Shore Sea. And as he was out there, the British soldiers were sailing in much bigger warships. And they captured his small warship. And they captured his men and they tied him up. And they asked him this question. They said, this question, do you surrender? And you history buffs know his response. He says, surrender? I have not yet begun to fight. And of course, he at that point, his men all became loose and they took over that ship and they defeated the guys in that ship. And so they went from a small warship to taking over a big warship, and they sailed around defeating the other British warships and started what was called the American Revolution right then. 3 years later, we become a nation, independence, breaking ourselves away. But somebody had to start it. Someone had to say when. Someone had to say, now's the time. I'm the one. All because one man said, I am the one. This is the place, and now is the time. Let me ask you this question. If the human spirit is capable of that kind of resolve, what can happen if we allow the Holy Spirit to come alive in us and say, now is the time. Now is the place, and I am the one. Flight 903 took off from Washington, D.C. with 92 people aboard. It crashed into the 14th Street Bridge, dumping all 92 passengers into the freezing Potomac River. Some of you remember this on TV, on Good Morning America, and all across the world they had, especially across the United States, all the stations were showing live this plane crash. All these 90 people in the freezing waters. And because the plane hit the bridge, there was people in cars who were stuck on Morning Drive, the traffic, and they were stuck on the bridge. And as they're reporting this live around the nation, this plane crash, and they're showing all the people in the water, you see a man get out of his car, and he jumps into the freezing cold water. He begins to pull people to safety. He pulled out five people that morning to safety, just by jumping out of his car and jumping into the freezing waters and pulling people out. Five people. There's a lady at home, and she went and got her kids and said, "Kids, come and watch this right here. Look at this man jumping in, saving these people." Let me tell you, kids, that's the kind of man your father is right there. That's the kind of man, if your father was there, that's exactly what he would do. And she didn't realize that that actually was their father, and that actually was her husband that she was watching jumping in. So the question is this: when you're first with a crisis in your life, when you're faced with adversity, when you're faced with things, what will your family say about you? What will your family say about you when times get tough? We just give up? We just stop? Or do we, family, look at us and say, "You know what, my kids look at me and say, you know what, when things get tough, when crises get bad in our life, they say, you know what, I'll step up to the plate. I'll be the one. God, if you're looking for somebody, God, I'm right here. God, if you're looking for a place, God, we open up our home. God, if you're looking for a time, now's the time. I'm ready, God. What do you want to do?" Because realize it or not, there's a crisis going around us all everywhere we look. We're filled with crisis, not only in our life personally, but around us. People are walking in crisis every day. And God's looking for somebody who will leave the comfort of their car and jump into the freezing waters and say, "I'll save somebody." Can you win the world by yourself? No, you can't. But you can win somebody. You can save somebody. And that person can save somebody. And that person can save somebody. And you never know what your willingness to say, "God, I am the one," will lead into a chain reaction, what God wants to do. What would your family say about you? Are you the one? Is this the place? Is this the time? We need men and women who will stand up and say, "I will step out and do what God wants me to do in the middle of the crisis." Psalms 138 and verse 7 says this: "Though I walk in the midst of trouble," in the midst of our crisis, look what it says: "God, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me." When we go through crisis, we need people to stand up and say, "God, you're the one who revives anyway. God, you're the one who sustains anyway. God, you're the one who blesses anyway. And God, you have the power to revive anything that's going on. You have the power to stretch out your hand and touch any situation." So we need to stop waiting for someone else and say, "God, I'm the one. God, revive me. God, use me. God, speak to me." God's looking for someone to say, "I'm the one." He's looking for people to say, "This is the place. This is the place that God is calling me to. This is the field that God's calling me to operate in. And now's the time to do it." Genesis chapter 26, we see the story of Isaac. And God told Isaac to go down to the land of his fathers. His father Abraham, he said, "Hey, go down. I'm going to give you the land." There was a famine going on in the land. He goes, "I want you to go back down and retake that land that was your father's. See, I promised your father that I was going to bless this land. I promised your father that this is going to be a gateway to the Savior. I promised your father that this is going to be a place of blessing." And so Isaac went back down during the famine and began to try to take back the land that the Philistines had taken away from his father. And it says that this land was famine. And so Isaac began to dig, "Lord, to dig, you'll find water." And so he digs up the well. And as he digs up a well to find water, it says the Philistines would come in at night and they would fill it back up. And then his men would go out and they would dig another well. And as quick as they could dig it, the Philistines would come and fill it back up. And so here he is trying to find water in the desert, trying to find water. And God's telling him, "Dig. Dude, I want you to dig. I want you to dig. I want you to dig." And as he digs, the enemy keeps coming and pouring it back in, pouring it back in. Now, how many know for us, for many of us, we would want to give up right there? We would want to say, "God, I'm done. That's enough. God, I keep trying, but I'm not getting anywhere. I dig, and the well's being filled back up." But Scripture says that he kept digging, and because he was persistent, the Philistines said, "Man, I give up. We can't keep up with this guy. We fill one up, he digs another one." You see, and of course, when he dug the next one after that, we see water coming forth, life coming forth. The rest is history. The land was given to Israel. It's our heritage, okay? Now listen. God is looking for men and women who would dig their heels on and say, God, you've given me this land. God, you've given me this place. God, you've given me this place, and now's the time. God, you've spoken to me, and now's the time. God, I'm taking this land for you. God, I'm taking this place for you. God, you're looking for somebody, here am I. And even though it may seem like the enemy is pouring into your well, trying to dry up your well, you say, that's all right, you fill up one well, I'll dig another. You can fill up that well, and tomorrow I'll get up and dig again, because I am not going, because God has given me and my household a promise that says if I will not forsake him, if I will put him first in my life, that his blessing will come to me and my family. And so I'm not going to retreat. I'm not going to give up, but I'm going to man up, I'm going to woman up, dig my heels in and say, God, I am the one. This is the place, and now is the time. God's looking for people. We'll step out and say, God, in my marriage, I dig my feet and say, God, my home, my marriage, my church, my city, this is the place that you want to meet us. This is the place, God, that you're wanting to do in my life. This is the time. This is the time. Israel refused to march into the promised land because of the negative reports from the spies. Remember that? When the 12 spies were sent out and they came back and only two had a good report and the other 10 had a bad report? And it says this, that the 10 brought back a negative report and only Joshua and Caleb brought back the positive report. And God was so angry with them because they were going on, of all the things he had done after he had parted the Red Sea, after he'd been feeding them and taking care of all the miracles and sent all the plagues and did all those things to get them captive, to set free, and now they're still having a hard time with believing the negative report. And the Word of God says this, that 24 hours went by and they had a shift in their mind. Well, maybe Joshua and Caleb are right. And yes, God did do this, but the Word of God says this, that it was too late. That God's hand had already moved from that generation to the next. And he had already deemed that generation, that doubting generation, who would not step up and say, yes, God, I am the one. Now is the time. This is the place. The ones who didn't embrace that, they died in the wilderness. They died out there 40 years. They had to wander. 40 years they had to go out and they had to die off. And only that next generation. See, if we're not careful, we'll miss what God wants to do in our life. That God's looking for somebody to step up and say, God, I'll go. Don't go to the next generation. Don't go to the next person. God, I'm the one. I am ready. God, I am willing to do what you're calling us to do. Now is the time. It was at Lazarus' funeral that Mary said to Jesus, remember Lazarus, the friend of Jesus, he had died, and when he got there, they respected him much earlier because they wanted him to heal Lazarus. So when he got there, Mary said, Jesus, if only you had been here. If only you had been here earlier, you would have healed my brother. You would have healed Lazarus. You see, she had a faith for back there, but not now. Mary had a faith for back there. You could have healed him back there, but now it's too late. Her sister Martha said, I know, Jesus. Jesus said, hey, it's going to be okay. And Martha said, I know Jesus is going to be okay. He's going to be resurrected in the rapture. And that's okay. I know eventually he's going to be there. And, you know, she had faith that it was going to be okay in the future. Mary had faith that God could do it in the past. She had faith it was going to be okay in the future. But where is the now faith? See, Jesus was looking for somebody with a now faith. Now is the time. Now is the time. He was looking for someone who has a now faith. That God, now is the time. This is the right time. See, some of us want to praise God for what he's doing. Some of us want to praise God for what he's done. Some of us want to praise God for what he's going to do. But sometimes we just got to give God a now praise. Amen. Let me repeat that again. Sometimes we just got to give God a now praise. Not thanking him for what he's going to do, not thanking him for what he's done, but say, God, right now, in this moment, right here, I'm going to give you a now praise. Somebody's going to worship you now, God. I'm going to worship you now. I'm going to give you a now praise. There's got to be a now praise that's coming out of our heart. It says, God, I'm not going to wait to give it to you, God. When you bless me, then I'll bless you. I know you can change my situation, and when you change it in the future, then I'm going to come back, God, and I'm going to be so humble, and I'm going to, no, God said, no, Give him praise now. Give him praise now. God's looking for somebody to step up. I'm going to give him a now praise in my life. We need to remember that now is the time. Matthew 26 and 7. I'm going to close with this story. It's a story we see here of a woman came to him having an alabaster flask, a very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. And when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste?" This woman had come to him, and she took this very expensive perfume, and she poured it out on Jesus' head. She poured it out on him. And the disciples said, "Why did she do that, Jesus? She could have took that and done something great in the future with it. She could have given that toward missions, or she could have done this, or she could have done that." And Jesus said, no, don't rebuke this lady, because she had a now praise. You see, she wasn't saving anything for the future. She wasn't saving anything for God. "I believe if you'll just change my life, or if you do this or that." No, she was saying, "God, I'm going to give you everything I am right now. God, I'm going to sell out to you." This is probably her most valuable possession. As we study this story and see this timetable in this woman's life, this would probably have been her most valuable possession. And she came and gave it as an offering to the Lord. She said, "I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to wait. I'm going to give it to him now. I'm going to give him everything I am. I'm going to give him all my valuables now. I'm going to give him everything, my praise now, my worship now." See, God's looking for a now generation who'll give it to him now. Now is the time. Now is the time to sell out to God. Now is the time to give your whole life away. Now is the time to say, "Yes, God." Now is the time. Now is the time. I'm going to ask the musicians to come back this morning. Now is the time. God's looking for somebody. He says, "God, I'm the one. This is the place, and now is the time." This morning, I want you to bow your heads where you're at, and I want to ask you this question. Maybe you're here today. I say, "Pastor, now is the time, first of all, in my life, I just got to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." Nobody's looking around. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. We want to respect this time. And I just want to ask you this question. I will not embarrass you in any way at all. But if you're here today and say, "Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Now's the time in my life. First of all, I just got to accept him as my Lord and Savior of my life. I've never asked Jesus Christ into my life to be Lord of my life. And today, I'm ready to accept that he died on the cross for my sins. I'm ready to accept that he is the forgiver of my sins. And I want to walk into a new destiny, which is a relationship with Jesus Christ." If you're here today and you want to raise your hand and say, "Pastor, that's me. I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ today." No one's looking, and I would not embarrass you at all, but can you raise it high where I can see it and let me know you're ready today? Thank you. Anybody else say, "That's me. I want to accept Jesus Christ today." Thank you. Anybody else want to join these people today and say, "I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ today"? One more time. If you haven't raised it, raise it high right now where I can see it and say, "I'm ready, Pastor. Today's my day." Thank you. We have those who raised their hand this morning, so we're going to say this prayer, especially those who raised your hand. The rest of us are going to say it with you, and we're going to say it out loud. So repeat after me and say, "Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I confess you as Lord of my life. I give you everything I am. And from this day forward, I will live for you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. I'm going to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen." If you prayed that prayer and meant it, we say, "Welcome to the family, God." Let's give him a hand clap, yeah. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer today, this is just the start, okay? It's not the end. It's just the start of a new relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the beginning. You need to find a church home. If you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you here. Get involved with people. We have a lot of small groups, the discipleship groups, where you can get involved and build relationship with people who are going to help you grow along your journey in Christ. It's a path of journey. It's a journey, a path of growth in your life. Before you leave today, stop by if you prayed that prayer and get a free Bible and some other things to tell you what to do next and your next steps in your journey. Today, I'm going to ask you this question. How many today say, "Pastor, As you're preaching, I believe in my heart that I want to say, I am the one. This is the place. And now is the time. If God's speaking to you today and you want to make that, declare it in your heart, I want you to stand to your feet and say, Pastor, I'm saying that in my life today, that I'm the one. This is the place. And now is the time. That I'm going to yield my life to God. In a way, I want to sell out to God in a new way. I want to give him everything, whatever he wants to do. I'm saying yes to that. I want to serve him. I'm going to look for places to serve. I'm going to look for things for people to tell about Jesus. I'm going to commit to the will of the Father. Today, I'm ready to say, now is the time. Now is the time. I'm going to say a prayer over you. And after we say this prayer, we're going to celebrate the Lord. We're going to just shout out to the Lord this morning and give him praise for what he's doing. I want to pray for you today. If you declaring that in your heart, I'm going to invite you just to raise your hands where you're at and say, God, this is a form of surrender. We lift our hands and says, God, I surrender my life to you. That's all it is. As a baby lifts his hands up to its father, or as a person surrenders when they're under attack, they raise their hands up. It's a universal sign of surrender. So we raise our hands and say, God, we surrender our life to you. We surrender our heart to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray, Lord, that this is the time. That we are the one. This is the place that God, we're looking for people who will step up and say, God, I'm ready to do the will of the Father. I'm ready to embrace the field. I'm ready to climb out of the bed of complacency and say, God, I am the one. This is the place. And now is the time. And God, we're going to be people who will be obedient to your voice. Lord, we're going to share. We're going to minister. We're going to serve. God, we're going to proclaim your love, Lord, to people we meet. We're going to show your love. We're going to send those who are going to go to the nations. We're going to go ourselves, and Father, we're going to declare to the field that, God, you are the one true living God, that all hope rests in you, that all peace rests in you, that all healing comes from you, that all salvation comes from you. God, this is the time that, God, we would have people who would rise up and say, God, I am ready to do what you're calling us to do. And God, as we lift our hands up and surrender, God, we say, we are the one. We are the one, God, today. We are the one who says, yes, God. We're going to proclaim that you are Lord. We're going to proclaim your goodness. We're going to proclaim your greatness over the city, over this region. We're going to help proclaim your goodness over this nation, over this world. And Father, we believe today, God, you are sending us to the field. And we say, yes, God, now is the time. Now is the time in our life to proclaim. In Jesus' name, someone say amen. Amen. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise this morning. Come on, I want you to give God a now praise. I want you to give him a now praise. And say, come on, put your hands together. Let's give the Lord a now praise. Sure, you take that form, fill it out, say, this is where I want to volunteer, be a part. Those of you who are in leadership, come and be tonight at 6 o'clock for the dinner. We'll see you then. Turn to someone and give them a high five. Say, it was great to be in church with you. God bless you. You guys have a great week.